Book of Matthew, the last verses of chapter 5. Verse 23 of chapter 5 reads, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan." In verse 23, the Bible tells us that Jesus went about. And that's characteristic of the statements that are made about Jesus. There's really no predicting where he will travel next or exactly what his ministry will bring to the forefront. Again, he didn't go into the populated areas immediately, such as the large cities. He didn't go to the religious center like Jerusalem. To begin his ministry, it was there that his ministry ended. And Jesus went about, which means that he was constantly in contact with people. And he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, which would be constituted of 10 men who would build a building, who would set the scriptures in a place in the middle of that building, and then people would take the scriptures out of their cases and sit down and expound them or teach them. And it was said of Jesus that no man ever taught like he did. That is, no one ever had the comprehension of scripture that Jesus displayed when he taught in the synagogues. He didn't quote from other writers, obviously, but he took the scriptures and expounded or explained or made plain the meaning of these scriptures to the people. So Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. It has been said that there's no difference in teaching and preaching because if you preach, you teach, and if you teach, you preach. But I don't think that is 100% correct. I think that Jesus taught in the synagogue and used a particular style. Then when he preached out in the public areas, there was a different tone. There was a different, perhaps, urgency in his voice, just as there was with Paul and others, who it is said that they taught in the synagogues and they preached in the cities. Preaching was an enunciation of facts and a saying of God has said. It was a different kind of atmosphere that was created, to be quite frank with you. Caruso has in it the idea of a crying forth of a town crier type circumstance. It's actually where we get that concept from. So here's Jesus who would come into the synagogue, sit down, have the scroll delivered to him, unroll it, and teach the people. Or when he was out, away from the scrolls, he would enunciate the principles of the kingdom of God. We'll learn that he did this sometimes by speaking parables. But we're going to start next Sunday morning, God willing, with the Beatitudes, which are the core principles of Christianity. You ever want to know what is Christianity? You want to look at these Beatitudes and you're going to see what is the real basic issue. Not all of it. You're going to see what is it to be a Christian? What is Christ-likeness? What was the fundamental principles, operative principles that guided the life of Jesus or guides the life of the people who follow Jesus? You'll see that. But Jesus went all about Galilee, teaching in the synagogue and preaching the gospel. That's not the death, burial, and resurrection. It's simply the news. It has in it the idea of joy. It is the news that brings joy. And the news that brings joy had to do with the kingdom of God being at hand. But the kingdom of God being good news is good news only to those people who want the kingdom of God to come. It's like someone preaching on the second coming of Jesus. It's good news to you only if you would like Jesus to come again. Preaching on the second coming of Christ to the world is bad news to the world. They're not anxious to hear messages on the second coming. But to God's people, if we're in the right fellowship with God and we preach on the coming of Christ, then we can say amen as John did, hasten the day. We can feel an emotion of joy. And that's what Jesus and John obviously felt and was seen in their face and heard in their voice, and other people received it with that kind of joy. But he went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness. And here is a facet of the ministry of Christ that has been given much attention from the viewpoint of simply having him do the miracles that he did that were connected with this process or this act of healing. Now you're going to see that Jesus dealt with the basic issues of life. For instance, sin. We feel deeply our imperfections. And secondly, another thing that worries all of us, not just that we are not perfect, that ought to worry us in the sense that it ought to concern us. And we're concerned about our health. We're concerned about death. And Jesus addressed all these issues. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He went about healing, and he certainly had the power after he was crucified and rose again over death, hell, and the grave. So Jesus addressed these fundamental human issues that are the troublesome aspects of humans living on this earth. Now, there are things that give us trouble. You say, oh, the thing that gives me trouble is my car payment. No, really the thing that gives you trouble is sickness, dying, death, your sins. These other things, they may come and get your car, but these other things are not things that other humans can deal with as lightly as they do just because you owe a debt or something of that nature. But this word that's translated healing is the word that we get therapeutic from. But it has in it the idea of dressing or washing and to be an attendant. There's a Greek word for slave, doulos, and that's the slave who is the lowest of all of the people involved in the chain of command or whatever we want to call it, the pecking order of society. There was the slave, and then there is the person who was involved in therapeutics. And the person that was involved in therapeutics was not particularly a slave, but it was a person who attended the personal needs of people. It had to do with tending the wounds. It had to do with being an attendant to the sick. actually sitting by the sick and caring for them, and to, at the same time, treat them medically. Never had in it the idea of miracles. And I am wondering if a great deal of the ministry of Jesus in connection with illness, that if it was simply in the context of being with the people, attending the people, helping to care for them literally, physically, as a physician. He is referred to as the great physician. He said, well now, are you taking away the miracles that Jesus did? No. No, I don't mean to do that because it would be wrong. But I am saying that every time that we see the word healing in the New Testament, it might do us well not to assume that this was an instantaneous, miraculous healing. Although he did that quite often. It was still, I think, a part of the ministry of Jesus to simply attend to sit with, and to commiserate with and sympathize with those who were sick. And that every contact with a sick person didn't result in instantaneous and miraculous healing. I believe this would be like Jesus, don't you? So he went about all Galilee, teaching, preaching, and healing all manner of disease and sickness. Sickness here is a chronic disease. That is, it's something that people have that's obvious and they've had it over a period of time. While disease is an incipient complaint, or what we would call the occasional illness. And this may seem of little importance, but I can assure you that it isn't. That Matthew is being very specific about who Jesus is and what he did. And this healing isn't just a light touch that he passes over to give some credibility to the person of Christ. He is describing in detail that this man came among the chronically ill, and he came among the people who are occasionally ill, and that he ministered to and miraculously healed these people until the word of it. And this idea of fame here is really not in the context of this, that he became a famous person. Really what happened was that the word, the hearing, people literally heard about it. And you see that it, all of a sudden Syria pops in here. Syria. And his fame, or we would say, people heard about what he was doing in Galilee all the way to Syria, which would be a good long way outside the area that Jesus normally traveled in. The Bible tells us that people who were sick came to Jesus, and they brought unto him all sick people. And this again is describing another condition. The idea here is that people having ill or evilness, that is, an illness that has come about because of some supposed evil. All manner of illness and diverse or various kinds of disease, again confirmed disease, or torment. And torment here simply means an extremely painful disease. You know, some diseases are more painful than others, and the Bible says here that some of the diseases that Jesus dealt with, they were brought to him, the people were brought to him simply because they were in tremendous pain. So look at it. chronic illnesses, people who've been sick with the same problem for a long time, people who had occasional illnesses. We would say something like migraine headaches. These people were brought to Jesus. People who had a malignant tumor, a cancer, were brought to Jesus. People who had some health problem brought on as a result of something evil that had occurred. People who had just something that created excruciating pain, so much so that it was considered in the same context as torture, which is the word that torment could be translated torture, and that's the root of the word. Lunatic, of course, is from lunar, the moon. People believe that at certain stages of the moon that some kind of disease might affect your mind, that the moon had an effect on the mental processes, and therefore some guy goes out and he stares at the moon over a particular time, then he gets to be a lunatic. He's affected by the lunar, the sun, or rather the moon. So he's literally, we say, to be moonstruck. A lot of tales about that. Palsy is paralytic, which is a transliteration to describe the condition of a person. And the Bible tells us that they came and he healed them. Again, the implication is that every instance had to do with miraculous, instantaneous, and yet the Bible doesn't seem to indicate that. You know, John wrote in John 20:31 that many other signs, and he just uses that word sign, did Jesus. And it tells us that he did it that people would keep on believing. It states in our King James that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, but the language tells us that it means to keep on believing that Jesus is the Christ, which tells us that these men, such as we read about this morning, Peter and Andrew and James, the sons of Zebedee, that they were following Christ, and Christ is constantly involved in the problems of mankind. He's teaching in the synagogue, and these people are following him and listening. He's announcing the kingdom of God, and they're following him, and they are listening. And then he's dealing with men who are ill, who are sick, and women and children, death and dying. He's in their very midst. And all the time, these people are following him, and they're gaining in number. And John says, and these are written that you might keep on believing that Jesus is the Christ, giving us the idea that at least part of what Jesus is doing is to reinforce constantly their belief that he's the Messiah. That this sort of wears down from time to time. And remember how weary these people are, and remember the pressure that's on them not to believe that Jesus is Messiah. To believe that he is a blasphemer and that all these things that he's doing are simply tricks. Some of the Pharisees hinted that it was done by the power of Satan. So try to see this in your mind, that Jesus is trying to, that he's doing these things that he's doing for the sake of credibility and for the sake of the people. It's not all for signs. But the signs are to be used for teaching and strengthening and encouraging. The idea that you're following a man who is suffering the same kind of problems you are, that he perspires like you do and he gets dusty feet like you do and he has to sit down under the shade tree and rest and he has to eat food like you eat and he has to drink water like you eat and he's involved in all the other bodily functions that you're involved in. And yet this man is the Son of God. He's God incarnate. You know, it's going to take a lot of encouragement to keep you believing that. Especially with this day-to-day intimacy that you have with a person. You know, it says, you know, that they companied together. They are together. They're 24 hours together almost. And so there has to be a constant reaffirming. So these men that Jesus called, they're with him. And Jesus is doing these things for the people and for his followers so that they may keep on believing and keep on following him and keep on accompanying him and keep on listening to what he has to say. And the people responded. There followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis, from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Just word of mouth advertisement developed a great multitude of people to follow Jesus. Now, he's going to take advantage of the circumstances, and he's going to sit down with them, and he's going to tell them in a very short sermon, brief enunciations, the real kernel of righteousness, what it really means to be like God. What's called Beatitudes. Who are the people who know the real principles, who get joy, here's the thing about it, who get joy out of the basic truth that runs the kingdom of God. Blessed, joyously content. Blessed, joyously contented are what? Poor in spirit. Why? For theirs is the kingdom of God, our kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the merciful. We're going to see what really the principles of the kingdom of God are. What is Christianity? You know, not many people know. I don't mean to insult your intelligence. You're some of the best people I've ever pastored. No question about it. But, you know, sometimes we think Christianity is going to church. Sometimes we think Christianity is Sunday school attendance. We think Christianity is singing in a choir. Christians may do this, but it is not the guts of Christianity. It's just the peripheral, the very skin of Christianity. Let's stand together and sing an invitation hymn.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest. My trusting in his word. Only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you.